Hello there. Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast for the third day of September 2020. Mark Congleton here. I'm your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hope you're doing well, you and yours, that all is well with you, and that life in these here United States of America and wherever else you may be is treating you well. Wow, so much we could be talking about, so much we could be dealing with, so much happening around our country and around the world, and we're talking about a hair salon. It's just amazing to me. This reminds me, this whole Nancy Pelosi situation with her haircut reminds me of a situation from years ago in radio days when I was actually not in it for an awful long time, and there was a ginormous staff meeting. All the staff of a station I was employed by was involved, and the owner of the radio station, actually the owner of the company that owned a bunch of radio stations around the country, had come to town for a meeting with everybody. And in that meeting, he started off after welcoming everybody, of course. He started off by saying, you know, we could be talking about potential growth in this area, potential growth in that area. We could be talking about the astounding job that this department is doing here. We could be talking about our newest salesperson over here who shows great promise. We could be talking about any number of things, but today we will be talking about who slept with who. And it was a very bizarre meeting, and it involved It actually involved an act of infidelity of a staff member, and I won't get into the juicy details. I just won't. If you worked with me at the time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Steve and some other people who I know may be listening. But there was a weird situation that had happened. Someone had had a serious moral lapse, and considering it was a Christian broadcasting outfit, it was a serious issue. But because of that idiotic choice that two people made, we could not talk about the actual productive things, the positive things, the things that actually really, really mattered. We had to talk about that particular situation. And it turned into a very interesting day. A very interesting and salacious day. And here we are today in the United States of America with the presidential election really about to happen. We have choices to make. We have things to think about. We have things to talk about. We have lies to expose. We have all of this to deal with. And what are we talking about? We're talking about an 80-year-old woman getting her hair cut at a salon that apparently was supposed to be closed to the public. And incidentally, also not wearing her coronavirus protection face gear at the time. And of course, you know I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who represents California from the San Francisco area. And her appointment with a hair salon over the weekend, a hair salon, which I got to be honest with you, I'm a little confused about. I'm not really sure if they were supposed to be seeing customers or not. I went to the California coronavirus health pages earlier this morning and was looking at the rules and the regulations, and they send you to the county that you need to. So I had to look up, what is that? The county. And I find the county, and I go and look at their regulations for barbers and hairstylists and such, and it looks like they can be open if they're practicing proper protocol, just like where I live, probably where you live. And as I told you the other day, I got a haircut the other day, and before the salons opened back up again, they hair stylists and the barbershops opened back up again, a lot of us were doing what we could. We were wearing baseball caps and we're doing all kinds of things just to hide the nastiness that was on top of our heads. And some of us took measures into our own hands. I did. And gave ourselves haircuts. And then we were able to go get haircut with certain precautions in place. Like they have hand sanitizer when you walk in the door. They take your temperature, you know, with this touchless thermometer. They make sure you're wearing a face mask. If you don't have one, they've usually got some in a box somewhere, these disposable ones, and they'll give you one. And then they sit you down and deal with your head. And if you're getting your hair washed, as I learned the other day, they will take the mask off to keep it from getting wet while you're getting your hair washed. And you may get up from there and not think about the mask for a moment or two before you put it back on, like most of us have. I don't know about you, but I have more than once. I've gotten up out of the car at a place of business and walked halfway to the front door, sometimes all the way to the front door, and then I've seen the sign posted in the front door about masks and gone, ah, crap. And turned around and walked back to the car because my mask is sitting in the console, not on my face. Because I just didn't think about it. Just, you know, listening to the radio, thinking about things, talking to myself, you know, whatever. I'm distracted. And that's easy for me. But, and I said yesterday, I've seen the video and I saw an 80-year-old woman hobble over a step down with her hair wet on her head and no mask on. And I said, you know, I had just been to get my hair cut and there were people there who were getting their hair washed and no masks while their heads were in the sink. And so I assumed, which is a dangerous thing, I assumed from that they tell you to take your mask off because they don't want your mask to get wet. Because that would not be good, I guess. But, and I said, I think it's a mistake to make an issue out of the mask thing because, it's a little oversight. I think we've all made that mistake. And now this story has taken on a life of its own. And the whole thing is crazy. The whole thing is just crazy. Now, Pelosi yesterday said that she fell for a setup by the salon where she was caught on camera having hair done despite a COVID shutdown and she was not wearing a mask. And she adds the salon owes her an apology. Now, when I saw her say these things, my first thought was, of course, a progressive politician tax somebody from her district rather than accepting responsibility. And she did. She said, well, I have the audio here and I'll play it for you in a minute. She said she accepted the responsibility for being duped or being set up and that she fell for it. Wow. And in a few minutes, we'll talk about that responsibility. But wow. I she goes on the attack. Somebody in her district, a business owner, someone who provides her tax base revenue, someone without whom her city, her county, her district of representation would be worse off without. And rather than finding some means of coming to a common ground with this person and their business, she steps up in front of the cameras on national television and throws them under the bus. And you'll understand why I say that shortly. Because, like I said, instead of talking about all of the truly important things today, we're talking about crazy Aunt Nancy and her hair salon. She held a press conference in San Francisco to address her controversial visit. After a report revealed she had visited the e-salon in her district on Monday for a wash and blowout. She was seen on the salon's security footage walking around without a mask, an image that went viral on social media and resulted in her getting mocked by many people, including President Trump. Once again, let me say this, once again, the walking around without the mask right after she had her hair washed, what do you say? I think all of us have realized, oh my gosh, I'm not wearing my mask. I think all of us have. So making an issue out of not wearing a mask, I don't think that's the issue. I think we've seen her in public on television. She's got that thing hanging around her neck. You see her in the background of pictures when other people are speaking and she's wearing it. And you know she wears it all the time. And she also is wearing, not a mask, she's wearing like a bandana or a neck gaiter or something like that, which most places, most sources are now saying is not sufficient. You can't. They won't allow you in. I know the Disney parks won't, because I've seen so much online about that. The Disney parks will not allow you through their gates wearing what Nancy Pelosi wears as a face mask. And there's a handful of others. You know, those that have valves in them to help you breathe easier? They won't let those in either. Anyway, so she holds a press conference. She addresses this thing because she's been seen at this salon. And let's see here. I believe this is what she had to say.
And let me just say this. I take responsibility for trusting the word of a neighborhood salon that I've been to over the years many times. And that when they said, well, we're able to accommodate people one person at a time and that we can set up that time, I trusted that. As it turns out, it was a setup. So I take responsibility for falling for a setup. And that's all I'm going to say on that.
So, she says she was set up. She says she trusted a neighborhood salon that she's been to over the years many times. And they said they were able to accommodate people one person at a time. And that they could set up that time, that she trusted it. And that, it turns out, was a setup. And she takes responsibility for falling for a setup. Let's deal with the responsibility issue right now. Nancy Pelosi represents her district in the House of Representatives. She represents the state of California in the House of Representatives. She is a powerful member of the House of Representatives. She is third in line to the presidency. She is third in line. If something happens to Trump, if something happens to Pence, Crazy Aunt Nancy is your president. She's third in line. Representing her district in the state of California, she should know the issues facing her district in the state of California. And right up at the top of the list nowadays is the impact of coronavirus on the people in her district and the businesses in her district. And if she should know anything, she should know about the coronavirus safety regulations in effect in her home district in California. And if not, her staff should know. She was not in Washington, D.C., flying home and making an appointment from some other place in the country, possibly with office staff in D.C., who's really not familiar with things going on back home. She is in her home district in San Francisco with locals staffing her office. People who deal with the political climate in her district. People who live in her state and should be familiar with the rules and regulations in her state. And so passing the buck off to the business is not an act of leadership. Not in the least. In fact, Nancy Pelosi has had things to say about leadership.
Leaders take responsibility. So I said he's a weak leader. He doesn't take responsibility. He places blame on others. I think that they owe, that this salon owes me an apology for setting up. It was a setup.
So when she's talking about other people, she holds them to a different standard of responsibility than she holds herself. She is blaming a business owner in her district and accusing the business owner of a setup. We'll deal with that after the break. Because earlier this morning, I started working on a post to go on the dailyperspectivepodcast.com and to social media with a lot of points about this whole situation. And her responsibility was one of those points. We'll deal with that coming up next. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Thursday, September 3rd, 2020. We could be talking about so many things. What are we talking about? A wash and a blow dry in San Francisco. I told you I wanted to talk about responsibility. That's coming. But first, let's hear from the salon owner. One of the people who works for her, the cosmetologist who works at the salon where Nancy Pelosi visited earlier in the week, yesterday was attempting to distance himself from the salon's owner. Erica, I guess her name is Cuse. I don't know. We'll find out. In a statement issued by his lawyer, hairstylist Jonathan DiNardo, I love that last name.
Hello, I'm DiNardo.
Appeared to agree with Pelosi's accusation that her appointment at E-Salon on Monday was a setup designed to embarrass the Democrat for allegedly ignoring coronavirus rules, according to reports. The statement issued by lawyer Matthew Soleimanpour said, the fact that Ms. Cuse is now objecting to Speaker Pelosi's presence at E-Salon, and from a simple surface-level review of Ms. Cuse's political leanings, it appears Ms. Cuse is furthering a setup of Speaker Pelosi for her own vain aspirations. Mr. DiNardo's name has now been dragged through the mud for simply following recommendations. So the lawyer is making this about politics. Okay. It may be about politics. It may be. I will not stand in the way of that possibility. It may be about politics. So what? According to the lawyer, DiNardo worked on Pelosi's hair after receiving approval from the salon owner. DiNardo has worked at the establishment for 6 years and has been in regular communication with the owner, according to the lawyer. DiNardo claims that during a phone call last weekend in which the salon owner gave him approval to work on Pelosi's hair on Monday, the salon owner was openly critical of the 80-year-old House Speaker, who has represented San Francisco in Congress since 1987. Years. He says Ms. Cuse took special interest in the appointment during this telephone call, wherein she made several vitriolic and incendiary comments about Speaker Pelosi and her purported responsibility for temporarily suspending operations of her business. That's according to the statement from the lawyer, which is obtained by San Francisco's KRON-TV. The lawyer also said his office has evidence that the salon owner had actually been operating her business during stay-at-home orders, where she'd been seen styling various clients' hair, ignoring social distancing guidelines, and not wearing protective equipment, that is, masks, as recently as a few days prior to Speaker Pelosi's arrival at E-Salon on August 31st. And he adds that the owner has also been mostly forcing stylists at the salon to violate orders for her own financial benefit in the form of receiving lease payments. I think that's interesting, that one statement. The stylists are making money every time somebody comes in. Okay, I want to talk to you guys for a moment. Just you guys. Do you understand how much money women pay to have this kind of stuff done? Do you understand the cost of these services? This is a total sidebar moment. Just give me a second here. Because where I get my hair cut, the girl that cuts my hair and cuts my wife's hair, we have a relationship that goes back some time. And that's why I, as a guy, go to a salon to get my hair cut, because the girl that cuts my hair is a precious friend of ours. So that's where we go. We make sure she gets our money for doing something that we would pay someplace else to do, because she is a precious part of our lives. So we go there and we have our hair done by this sweet girl. And at this particular salon where we go, a dye job and a cut and dye is something like $180. That's nearly $200 for a couple of hours at the salon. So you do a few of those a day, you're not doing badly. You got to pay your rent for your space, but still, hey, you can make a little cash. Now, the lawyer also says that his client took all requisite safety measures during the appointment, including cleaning all the surface areas, yada, yada, yada. You know the drill. This is also tiresome, and this is what we're dealing with today. I'm trying to, I just scrolled a little bit and lost something I wanted to bring up here. Let's see. Okay. All right. Well, it's something we've already covered in previous stuff. But the salon owner was on the Tucker Carlson show last night. And so let's have a listen to what she has to say.
Tonight we want to introduce you to the woman Nancy Pelosi is blaming. Erica Kias owns the now famous salon in San Francisco, and she joins us tonight. Erica, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nancy Pelosi claims on camera that you orchestrated a, quote, setup to entrap her into getting her hair blown out without a mask. Did you?
No, absolutely not.
How would you have done that? I mean, can you prove that this wasn't a diabolical setup designed to bring down the Speaker of the House by blow-drying her hair?
She had called the stylist or her assistant did and made the appointment. So
yes.
The appointment was already booked. So there's no way I could have set that up. And I've had a camera system in there for 5 years. I mean, I didn't go in there and turn cameras on as soon as she walked in to set her up. So that's absolutely false.
So Pelosi says that salons in San Francisco, and of course she lives there and she is the most powerful Democratic legislator in the world, but she says she understood that the restrictions allowed a one-on-one appointment in salons. What do you make of that?
I heard that and I thought to myself, well, as a hairstylist, I see clients one-on-one. So that would mean I would be open. Right?
Yes. Pardon. Sorry to laugh. Yes, it would mean
sorry,
that. Are you open?
No.
What is that doing to you in your business?
For the past 6 months, we're pretty much done. Hmm. I mean, we've lost at least 60% of our clients. I've lost the majority of my staff. So, you know, 6 months is a long time to be closed down.
Yeah, no, it's too long. So your business has been destroyed by this. How do you feel about seeing the most powerful woman in America come into your salon in violation of the rules she supports, get caught and then blame you for it?
To be honest, it was more hurtful. She's been coming in for quite a while and just to see her come in, and especially not wearing the mask, that's what really got to me. But,
yes.
You know, this isn't even political. I mean, she's been coming in there. It's the fact that she actually came in and didn't have a mask on. And I just thought about, you know, my staff and people not being able to work and make money and provide for their families. And if she's in there comfortably without a mask and feeling safe, then why are we shut down? Why am I not able to have clients come in? So it's been hard.
You're not making a political point. You're making a human point rooted in common sense. And what do you think? I don't know what the answer is. What do you think the answer is? Why can't, if Nancy Pelosi feels comfortable using your salon, why can't civilians use it?
Exactly. And I'll be honest, in our area in San Francisco, I mean, we're obviously the last county or city to not open. We've been trying to figure that out. We've been asking ourselves these questions for 6 months. I mean, for the past actually 4 months of why we are not reopened. And that's kind of a good question. We, again, don't know.
Huh. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay in the city, do you think, in San Francisco?
I don't think so. The hard part of all this is that I have been in that community for 12 years. And since this happened, I have received nothing but hate, text messages, death threats. They're going to burn my hair salon down. My Yelp page is just unbelievable. With bad reviews. It's sad that my community is pulling this when they're saying that I threw her under the bus when I didn't. So that's hurtful, but I think I'm pretty much done there. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's one of the most heartbreaking stories I've heard in a long time, And I just want to restate for the people who are hating you for telling the truth. I don't consider this political. You don't seem like a political person. And I'm just sorry this has happened to you, Eric.
Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Had to jump in quick there because yesterday Facebook nailed me for a Prince song. Thanks, Facebook. Not like, you know, I've said this before, it's not like kids are sitting around listening to this podcast making a mixtape. And if you're old enough, you know what that means. It's a Thursday edition of the podcast. It is the third day of September 2020, and we're talking about Hairgate, I guess. It's just insane. Can I touch on something else before we move on? There's a new horrific uprising because of something that's happened here, and that is that another black guy has died in police custody, and of course everybody's going bat bleep crazy over it. Police camera body cam footage released yesterday shows Rochester, New York officers handcuffing Daniel Prude, placing a hood over his head, pressing his face into the pavement until he is silent. In the video, medics perform CPR before he was loaded into an ambulance. Prude died 7 days later, March 30th, with an autopsy report from the Monroe County Medical Examiner's Office saying his cause of death included complications from asphyxia in the setting of physical restraint. Now, I want to clarify something here, and that is that what we're seeing now, the evidence we're seeing now is that this guy, Daniel Prude, was on angel dust. He was on PCP. He was also suffering from a whole host of what we are now familiar with calling comorbidities. This guy had so many heart conditions, lung conditions. He had a brain condition. He had so many things going on that taking PCP is what killed the man. He was dead, pretty much, as far as everything is concerned, not because of how he was treated by the police, but because of how he treated himself. Much like the George Floyd situation, which we're finding out now, we know now, that he had so much in his system, so much illicit substance in his system, that the fentanyl in his system, anywhere from 2 to 4 times the amount that can kill a human being. And now we have Daniel Prude. So when you see the stories about Daniel Prude, please keep in mind the guy had a serious brain condition. He had a serious heart condition. He had lung issues. This guy, a jog around the block probably would have killed this guy. and he was high on PCP. He was on angel dust, which elevates everything. The blood pressure aspect alone would have killed him. But since he suffered from his drug use in police custody, the police are now the evil people. Go figure. Responsibility. We're back to responsibility again.
Leaders take responsibility. So I said he's a weak leader. He doesn't take responsibility. He places blame on others.
I think that they that this salon owes me an apology for setting up. It wasn't set up.
Leaders.
And she did go on to say that she takes responsibility for falling for the setup. Very interesting. Responsibility. I'm going to go back to this again. And that is that the Speaker of the House, as Tucker Carlson put it, the most powerful Democrat woman on earth, representing a district in California, who lives in her district in California in an extremely nice house. She's worth millions upon millions upon bloody millions. Let's be clear about that. Who has on television sat down and laughed while eating ice cream from her $24,000 refrigerator. $12 a pint ice cream, I might add. Not only is she financially out of touch with the people of her district, she is also out of touch, apparently, with the rules and regulations for her district. And so are the people who work on her staff who live in her district. As you heard in the interview with Tucker Carlson, the salon owner said they are one of the last places in California still to be under lockdown as far as this is concerned. So what if it was a setup? What if Ms. Kios did set Nancy Pelosi up? What if she was angry with Pelosi for not helping the businesses, like her business, in her district? What if this was political? What if it was a setup? Well, if it was a setup, then Nancy Pelosi's staff and Nancy Pelosi herself would not have been caught in a setup had they been abiding by the coronavirus safety regulations in place for San Francisco, California. But they weren't. They were seeking something they knew they couldn't get there. They were ignoring the safety protocols, and they wanted what they wanted, and they went after it regardless of the law. Actually, not law, just regulations. So Nancy Pelosi and her staff made arrangements to do something that they, I just can't sidestep it. They knew what they were doing when they did this. And the odds are that over the past 6 months, she has done this previously during the shutdown period when this business is not really open for business. So Nancy Pelosi knows the regulations. Her staff knows the regulations, but the regulations don't matter to them because they're just going to do what they're going to do because they can. If officials had shown up at the salon, if someone had reported the salon at the time this happened, if officers had walked through the front door of the salon and into the space covered by that security camera while Nancy Pelosi was walking from one place to another with her hair wet, hanging down, and no face covering, what do you think would have happened? Absolutely nothing. Because Nancy Pelosi's office would have put an immense amount of pressure on the law enforcement officials, and you never would have heard about it.
In fact, they may have gone through legal measures and confiscated the video footage from the security cameras to keep anyone from knowing. And no, that's not a stretch. This is the kind of mentality we're dealing with. As I said yesterday, this is also the kind of mentality you would be dealing with if they got their way and instituted universal health care. You would be sitting in line, sitting in a room with a lot of sick people, waiting for hours to see a doctor who would prescribe something for you that may or may not fix the problem. And Nancy Pelosi and others like her would be seeing private physicians that you would not be able to see because they're important people and you're not. Nancy Pelosi is completely responsible for what has happened here. She and her staff are completely responsible for all of this uproar that's going on. And there's really no way around it. Oh, well, they set me up. Well, if you weren't trying to do something that was against the regulations, you wouldn't have been caught. Well, it's just not fair. No, it's not fair to anybody. Nobody. It's not fair. Considering what we know now, most recently we're finding out that the lockdown actually aggravated infection rates because it cooped people up in close proximity and spread the virus more quickly. Considering what we know now, everything should have been open and everybody should have been allowed to go out and do their business and take proper precautions rather than being locked down and locked up. She knew. Her staff knew. They had to know. If this had happened to you, and you had been caught, and your salon or barber had been caught, then the story on the local news, not the national news, but the local news, would have been about how your barber or your stylist was caught doing something against the regulations and was fined heavily, and you were fined heavily, and that if the stylist or barber continued to do what they were doing, that their business would be shut down, their business license would be revoked, yada, yada, yada. You know the stories. They've been happening across our country where people in this same business have resisted, have continued. In my city, where I live near Birmingham, Alabama, there's a well-known men's grooming place that just kept on going. When they were told they couldn't, they kept on going. They were in the news fairly regularly for resisting all of the regulations, for disobeying. They were fined. They were threatened with business license revocation. They just kept on going. And that's a story that's been happening. It's a local story that's been happening in cities across America as people have resisted. And we're all familiar with the workout facility, the health and workout facility and now it's escaping me where they are, but you know the story, where the guys ran the place, the police showed up, warned everybody, and then left, and then they came back and did other things to them. They shut off their water, they boarded up their business, the guys keep going back in, kicking the stuff out of the doors, opening the business back up. They did workouts on the parking lot because there was a loophole in the regulations that they couldn't do all the stuff inside. So they went outdoors. And then in the coup de grace, they had a politician take up residence and it became his campaign headquarters. So the rules didn't apply. But if it was you, you would be sitting there looking at some way to find the money to pay a fine. But if it's Nancy Pelosi, it's not her fault. She was set up. The most powerful Democrat woman in the world. And she allowed herself to be set up by a hair salon that was unhappy. If that's what really happened, can we really trust her judgment on super important matters? Wow, the computer seems to like Prince today. it's all my fault, you know, because I programmed it. It's the Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast, September 3rd, 2020. We've been talking about Hairgate. Or should it be hair trap? You know, like in a sink. It's a hair trap. That's what it is. It's that screen at the bottom of the sink that catches hair. It's hair trap. Gosh. This entire episode is so incredibly ludicrous. And it just blows my mind. This is what's on people's minds. This is what's on their radar. This is what's in focus right now. Is that an 80-year-old woman who, come on, face it, she knew the rules. An 80-year-old woman and her staff who knew the rules in their city. They broke the rules and they got caught. And they're saying, oh, it's like your kids. He made me do it. It's exactly what it's like. It's just insane. I was on Twitter in the break, scanning through, actually Twitter and Facebook, scanning through things. Britt Hume over at Fox News is a consultant over at Fox News now. He tweets this morning, the premise of Pelosi's defense of using a closed hair salon is that she may be the Speaker of the House and a longtime San Francisco resident, but it's not her job to know the city's COVID-19 rules. Thank you, Mr. Hume. Absolutely on point. That is the entire thing. It's not my job to know that. Really? It's not your... You're the person. Okay, let's get some... let's get some perspective on this. Okay? The perspective is this woman is holding up legislation in Congress right now. Right as we speak, we're having a little chat here, you and me. As we're having this little chat, Nancy Pelosi is holding up legislation for a relief package for businesses, a lot like this hair salon, to help them pay their bills, to stay afloat, to keep their heads above water, and to keep those who work around them and for them from going under as well. She is holding this up because she wants so much more money than is actually necessary for the actual relief itself. She's holding up legislation which would benefit people in her district, like this business and others in her district. She's holding up this legislation. So she knows, dear God, she knows what's going on. And if she doesn't, she should not be in office. So basically the understanding is, well, it's not her job to know this stuff. Really? She's home, by the way. Her news conference yesterday, where I pulled the soundbite from, was from San Francisco. She's home. She's in her home district. Her staff in her home district made the contact, made the reservation, set everything up. The stylist who dealt with her that day said one of her staff had called and made the reservation. So Nancy Pelosi, who lives there, but works elsewhere usually, and a staffer who lives there and works there, both knew she was not supposed to be doing this, and she did it anyway. And when she got caught, oh, I was set up. Are you old enough to remember Mary and Barry? Does that name ring a bell for you? Mary and Barry was the mayor of Washington, D.C. And I don't have the dates, but it was for, he was mayor. They kept reelecting this man over and over and over and over again. There was a huge scandal. Marion Barry was caught in a hotel room with a hooker doing drugs. I think they were snorting cocaine. So, one, he's with a hooker. That's law broken number one. Number two, and two, they're snorting illegal drugs. That's number two. What does he say? The bleepin' bleep set me up. He exclaims this to the public. She set me up. It's not my fault. She set me up. Well, were you in the hotel room? Well, yeah, but were you with a prostitute? Well, yeah, but were you doing illegal drugs? She set me up. Were you doing illegal drugs? I mean, she set me up, man. He broke the law. He broke the law. He broke the law. But it's not his fault, man. She set me up. Really? So could you have been set up? Had you been actually a decent human being who wasn't interested in going to hang with a prostitute and do drugs? Could she have set you up? No, she couldn't have. And by the same token, Tipsy Aunt Nancy could not have been set up had she been a decent, upstanding human being who was going to obey the rules and regulations in place for safety from the coronavirus. And she expects us to believe that a hairstylist, a cosmetologist, set up the most powerful Democratic woman in the world, third in line to the presidency, and she was duped by a cosmetologist. She was set up. Just let that sit on the back burner and simmer for a while, because honestly, that's just precious. She set me up. But it's not Nancy's responsibility.
Take responsibility. So I said he's a weak leader. He doesn't take responsibility. He places blame on others.
I think that they owe, that this salon owes me an apology for setting up. It was a setup.
Yeah, it was a setup. It's their responsibility. They owe her an apology for setting her up. I'm sorry, I have to laugh. That's just so ludicrous. It's beyond measure. She got caught. Just like Marion Barry, she got caught. And now she's squealing. They set me up. She does say, I do take responsibility for getting set up. Well, good. Let's explore that responsibility for just a moment. Shall we? Because you knew. You should have known better. You did what was not allowed. You did something that you don't let your other constituents do because you're powerful. You decided to ignore the regulations because you're more important. You decided to do something you would not allow the people who live in your district to do because you're a member of the progressive elite. You're more intellectual and you care more. You're intellectually and morally superior to everyone else, so you have your own special set of rules, and you don't live by the rules that apply to the unwashed masses. You are not a member of the deplorable class, so because you care more and you're smarter than everybody else, you can do whatever you bloody well want to do, and everybody else just has to pound sand. That is what you take for your responsibility, ma'am. You don't care about the people in your district. You don't care about the businesses in your district. And the only time you would even come close to possibly caring is if the polls were running against you because you did something boneheaded like this. So now you've been caught. You've been snagged by your own duplicity, and you are being exposed. And this is what we're talking about today. Antifa and BLM are destroying parts of cities across the country. I listened to a resident of Portland talking the other day, saying there are 2.5 million people that live in Portland. There's a couple of hundred people there who are causing all this ruckus. It doesn't represent us. That's not what the city's really like. It's a little small area of downtown. This guy goes to the downtown area frequently. And I'm thinking, the fact that it's happening at all is the problem. Because a progressive politician who is intellectually and morally superior to everyone else has decided that it's important for these people to be able to act out. And it doesn't matter if they destroy life in the downtown area and cause millions of dollars in damage and people get killed, because their cause is important. Why? Because just like Nancy Pelosi, he's a member of the progressive elite. He's intellectual and moral, and he understands and cares more than you do. Just remember that. Nancy Pelosi should not be reelected, but she will. And I'll be coming back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Let's get together again, okay? God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.